Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Long holiday weekend, 4:30 now, and start with John Edwards with sports. How do you do?
So far so good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. A little taken aback, maybe even surprised, over the Major League Baseball decision, making both Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson eligible for the Sports Hall of Fame after their careers were tarnished by sports gambling scandals. What's your take on that?
It seems that Rob Manfred has a different definition of permanent than everybody else, because to me, permanent means permanent, but he's decided that permanent is more of a lifetime ban, which means that now that those lifetimes are safely over, recently for Pete Rose, a long time ago for Shoeless Joe Jackson, suddenly that those bans are over and now they are reinstated, because the Hall of Fame has a rule that if you're banned, you're not eligible. Either or both of them getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame is gone, especially in the case of Pete Rose. I mean, this is pretty obvious that he violated the one rule of baseball that everybody knows is there, which is that you can't bet on baseball, and especially you can't bet on your own team, both of which he did. And, you know, this is sort of the set of rules that came out because of the Black Sox scandal in 1919. You know, I don't see the logic in rewarding him for that.
You would not have been in favor of voting Pete Rose in?
No.
Okay. I'm on the other side of the fence, John. 4,256 hits, man. And Shoeless Joe Jackson, don't get me started on him. He batted 375 in that series in 1919 against the Reds. So it's okay not to talk to them, or at least now they're passed away. Mm-hmm. But you have to recognize everything these guys have done, no?
And Shoeless Joe is a different one for me. You know, I think it's an open question how much he was aware of, you know, whether he was involved in it or just swept up because they just banned everybody on that team. You know, but Pete Rose was pretty open and shut that that's what he was doing. The next time they get to vote on it would be for 2028. Yeah. So on the other side, the landscape has changed a bit. I mean, it's quite likely that his induction vote will be sponsored by DraftKings. So, you know, who knows?
Just to get back to Rose and Shoeless Joe, the Hall of Fame is now populated by a bunch of thugs. Ty Cobb, notably, being just a notorious racist. 4,256, man. It will go down in history as being the greatest number in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, now that he's eligible, he should be in fairly quickly. You can't ignore that.
Yeah. All right. Very quickly, John, the F1 could axe the Canadian Grand Prix after 2029. Holy mackerel, this conversation, it comes back every 5 years.
Yeah, and it's a little premature in this case because, yeah, apparently last year's event didn't go very well. Some of that was, I think, because of construction, whatever else going on around. But the thing with the Canadian Grand Prix is that it's already being scheduled to move into mid-May as of next year, because they're going to set it up so that it and Miami are paired, so that teams will go to Miami once, Miami, and then go up to Montreal and then go over to Europe. Whereas right now it sort of is in the middle of the European swing. So they need to see how it works being in mid-May, you know, from in 26, 27, before they can start thinking about whether it should remain on the calendar.
The question's the following. Is this just another power play for more money from the Quebec government?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because
let's call a spade, man.
Yeah, the answer to your question is money. The answer to your question is almost always money. They're going to want more money for this, so because there will be other places that are looking to get F1 races and willing to throw a pile of money at it.
Yeah, and if you ask the drivers, John, to a T, yeah, they all say that Montreal is one of their favorite, if not their favorite place to go.
Yeah, other than last year, which seemed not to go very well. I think it was rainy, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
Montreal is usually a favorite stop on the tour, so hopefully it does remain.
Talk to you at 5:30.
We'll see you then.
Of course, there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM. The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on The Friday Drive.
Time for The Weekly News Review. This is Mike McDevitt, and I am not. Good afternoon.
Count your blessings.
Well, there you go. Good to have you along. So many things going on. Mike, the Quebec CAC government has proposed changes to the rules governing doctors, especially focused on how they are paid, their obligations to the public health care system. The changes aim to incentivize doctors to take on more patients and remain within the public system. A more detailed look The CAC is proposing to link a portion of doctors' salaries to their performance in treating patients, aiming to encourage them to take on more and provide better access to care. It's not like they're fooling around now. You know, it takes forever to meet a doctor. The thought of having a timer on the desk and not being able to ask too many questions because you're falling into the time window of what you can get, it's sort of a concern for me.
Well, there's a lot of concerns there. How do they measure performance? Whether the guy dies or whether he gets better, or how does that work? Because medicine's not like fixing a car, you know? Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes a doctor, the best thing they can do is make sure you're comfortable and not in pain. Patient's still going to die at the end. So is that a failure? Or is that a good performance or not? It doesn't sound too promising to me. Nothing in those recommendations seemed to be very promising to the objective of keeping doctors in the public system.
It's not like they're hurried now, but having to spend even less time at looking at the reports doesn't seem like a really good way moving forward.
No, it doesn't. Again, I can only speak from my own experience, but most of my doctors have been more than willing to answer any questions I have. Now, I don't know the details, I confess, but I don't see how any of this is going to encourage people to stay in the public system. And that's what the problem is.
Yeah. Now, the government is also considering imposing stricter regulations on doctors who want to switch from the public to the private healthcare system.
Well, that might do it. They're not slaves. They're doctors. Worked awfully hard to get their degrees that we paid for, by the way. So there's that. I don't know. I wish them luck. They have to do something. The answer is more doctors, to tell you the truth.
I think that too, but a portion of their remuneration could be tied to performance indicators.
That's a pretty vague description. I don't know how they're going to evaluate a doctor's performance. I really don't. I wish them luck, as long as they don't make things worse.
I know. There are plans to require new doctors trained in Quebec to work in the public healthcare system for a certain period. Of course, through all of this, reactions from doctors, they're not impressed.
Well, no, I understand that. They all want to work in the cities and for big hospitals. Where we need doctors is in the rural areas. Medical education is extremely expensive, and we're paying for it. So I think they owe us some public service. I really do. I know that's not going to be very popular with doctors because, like I said, they want to be in the big cities. You got to be reasonable about how you're allocating your resources. And there's things you can do to encourage doctors to go into the rural areas. For example, providing them with clinics that they don't have to pay for so that they can earn their stripes, fulfill a service. When they are free of the 5 years or whatever it is, they can start without being a whole lot of in debt. I mean, all of this is going to cost money, of course, and that's the problem.
The thing is you have to free up doctors' time. Artificial intelligence could be one of the various solutions, perhaps having more assistance. All I know is that we have a health system right now that costs an arm and a leg. We keep throwing money at it. Nothing ever improves.
I think they could do some things, expand their responsibilities of the nurse practitioners and the nurse clinicians, that there's an awful lot of things that you don't have to see a doctor for to have it diagnosed and treated. They should be able to prescribe basic drugs. Medicine is complicated nowadays. Yeah. Doctors spend most of their time just reading tests. Their intuition and their instincts don't count for as much. They read tests.
Clearly, you and I don't have answers, but nor does Minister Dubé at this time.
I don't see that he does. And again, I'm under medical care right now, and I'm very, very happy with it. They're thorough all the way from the nurses to the doctors to the institutions. I'm lucky. I'm in a place with a wonderful big university hospital, and they're taking good care of me. I can't expect miracles, but they're doing a real good job. So it's hard for me to really understand where the problem is. I don't live off in the far north or anything, you know.
I hear you. All right. Prime Minister Mark Carney unveiled his new front bench on Tuesday. More than 50% of those sworn in were rookies. Did that surprise you at all? Anything else come up that sort of shocked you?
I watched that and I was kind of impressed with this lineup. I know a lot of them are rookies, but they come from areas for the most part that have had direct dealings with the ministry they're responsible for. They're familiar with the dossiers. They should be up to date. And for the important ministries, most of them are some well-proven ministers, Champagne, Joly, although she's not in foreign affairs anymore. She's going to be in industrialization, and that's not a small one considering what's going on. I'm reasonably impressed. We'll see what the Tories are putting up as a shadow cabinet.
And a lot of Quebecers. Nothing to make Danielle Smith too happy. Michael, with all of this going on, the Canadian movement, boycott American products and travel, continues. When it came to Canadian residents' return trips from the U.S., specifically by automobile, number declined by 35%. Flights are down 70%. Mr. Orange did definitely peeve a lot of Canadians off.
I'm kind of surprised that that's holding on as well as it has. It's a great thing that people are thinking of going somewhere else, you know, other parts of Canada. We've got some amazing tourist spots here that, you know, we don't need to go to the States. Las Vegas, you know?
Yeah.
Come on. You certainly hurt the tourist industry, and I don't know how rapidly that will come back.
What really did me in, and I refuse to go to the United States and buy American these days, it was when Trump declared that he was prepared to start an economic war with Canada and every Canadian would be on their knees. And that sort of, you know, turned me off.
He's overestimating his power, that man. He can still be bribed, obviously, but I'm not sure it's going to do him any good.
He can be bribed anytime you have a $400 million jet to give him.
It doesn't compare with Hillary Clinton's $400 necklace. But,
can you just imagine if Obama would have been given something like that and he would have taken it?
What we're seeing is Trump's prediction that he can shoot anybody he wants on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. He can do whatever he wants. He's not even hiding it. You know, he claims that it's not, but he's not fooling anybody. Everybody knows that he's accepting a $400 million plane because, you know, he can't afford one. But I've given up hope for that country. I really do. I just hope they fall apart before they nuke the rest of us. That's all.
Yep. There are 71 conflicts around the world right now. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, is that all?
That's all.
Doesn't count mine.
It doesn't count yours.
Conflicts that I have.
Okay. We'd have to triple that number. Gaza, Michael, said something to the effect that there's a famine going on. For crying out loud, this thing has been going on for, what, 2.5 years? You know, the famine started 2 weeks after this whole chaos thing started. There's a black market that's stealing all the food that is trickling through the borders. Unless you pay someone, you're not getting any for your family.
They've destroyed the infrastructure that they have. They've destroyed their hospitals. If there are still Hamas people in Palestine, they must be just about everybody. And everybody is Hamas. If you express sympathy for Palestine, well, you support the terrorists. You should be deported. Whatever. Israel is trying to wipe out the Palestinian reality and take over the lands.
And Ukraine, again, got bombed big time this week. And this agreement between Ukraine and the United States, I think Zelensky only signed it just to prove that there's no way Putin wants to come to the table anyway.
Well, he's not coming. He's sending delegates. He's not coming himself. Zelensky had to sell those minerals somewhere. So I suppose you bite the bullet, except to Trump.
Michael, sell to Trump sounds more like pillage to me.
Well, I don't know the details of the agreement. I don't know that he'd be able to bully Zelensky quite that far. Zelensky has to make some money and he's got to get some weapons. You know, it does prove that Putin doesn't want to talk to him.
There's no doubt about that. And the mother of all conflicts in the making, India and Pakistan.
That's a little dangerous, that one. Two nuclear powers, you know.
And they hate each other so much.
Ever since the partition. They've been fighting over Kashmir since day one. Doesn't look like anybody's willing to compromise, so.
Talk about escalation or potential escalation. That could go very badly, very quickly.
Good. I have some confidence in the sensibilities of both parties that they don't want to turn their countries into rubble. No guarantees, that's for sure.
Michael McDevitt, long holiday weekend has started. Hope you have a good one. Doesn't it make sense we've got rain on the forecast?
That's the way it works these days.
That's the way it works. Have a great weekend. We speak next Friday.
Okay, Daniel. Have a good week.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Running out, no one else around but me. Steady losing light, steady losing my mind. Over shadows and gravity. Without you, there ain't no place for me to hide. Without you, there's no way I can sleep tonight. What I do, oh, a little bit of peace and quiet. Without you, I keep sipping in the what you waiting for? Something physical. I can do this by myself. Without you, there ain't no place for me to hide. Without you, there's no way I can sleep tonight. What I do, oh, a little bit of peace and quiet.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
All right, it's time for Taylor McClure. Taylor reports from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Taylor McClure, are you enjoying the beautiful weather?
Yes, finally, summer is here. It feels so good to have the sun out, the warmth, and to get out and move. So really enjoying the warm weather, and I'm sure you are too.
Oh, yeah. You know what I really like this time of year? The greenery has started coming out. You look at the trees, you look at the forest, and it has that greenish look to it. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, my gardens are thriving right now. They're getting green. All the leaves are coming out. The buds are coming out. It's nice to see everything coming back to life.
You're so right with the bugs. Tried mowing the lawn this week, and it was like, wow, couldn't see the grass because of all the black bugs around me. Anywho, let's talk today with the Interregional Bus Circuit Project.
Yeah, so there's an interregional bus circuit between the MRC of Brome, Missisquoi and Oyamaska that is currently being developed by both MRCs. It's actually a pilot project that's meant to link both regions and to help meet the need for affordable mobility options, particularly for students, workers and seniors in both MRCs. So I had the chance to speak with Khalil El-Fatmi, who is the Director of Transport and Mobility Department for the MRC of Brome, Missisquoi, who explained that the bus circuit will pass through the municipalities of Council Nashville, Bromont, Granby, St. Alphonse de Granby, and East Farnham, with locations such as the Cégep de Granby, Campus Bromississqua, Art of Park 74 in Bromont, and the BMP Hospital in Countsville, all kept in mind as locations of interest along this bus circuit. According to Khalil, as of right now, the MRCs are looking to narrow down a transport carrier to provide the actual service to people in both regions. And once that is completed, the bus circuit will be officially launched. He mentioned to me that they're aiming to launch the bus circuit at the end of August or by the beginning of September before the launch of the school year, of course, to help meet the needs of students. So that's their aim. But as I mentioned, there's no certainty because they're still trying to narrow down a transport carrier. So until that time, the MRC of Bromississqua does offer other public transportation services, such as their adapted transportation and a public transport service that they recently launched in Countsville. So people are encouraged to check out these services on the MRC's website if they ever need some form of transport in the meantime. So it's going to be really interesting to see this project play out and see how it benefits both regions.
And there's a fundraising campaign for Logement HAN.
Yeah, so Logement HAN, which stands for Humain Adapté Novateur. For those listeners that might not know of them, it's an organization that develops and manages affordable and adapted housing projects for people with physical disabilities, intellectual disabilities, autism spectrum disorders, and for seniors that need accessible and adaptive living spaces. And they develop these projects across the province of Quebec, including here in the Eastern Townships. So we actually spoke with Annette Grois-Trudel, who is the CEO of Logement HAN, to get more details around the launch of their fundraising campaign, and she explained that they're looking to raise $1.5 million this year in order to build an additional 120 adapted and affordable housing units in Quebec, which she said are much needed here in the province to meet the needs for this type of housing. So with access to housing already being a general issue right now with the high rental prices, Nick emphasized that it's actually three times more difficult for someone to find a place that is not only affordable, but also adapted to their needs. So these types of projects are much needed here in the province. She did note to us that there are new projects planned for the Eastern Townships region that will be supported through this fundraising initiative, but she couldn't give away all the details of the locations just yet. She did highlight a project that's currently being constructed in Farnham, which is in the Bromississqua region, that will make 8 adapted and affordable housing units available to people in the community that need them, which is really great. So for those who are looking for more information about the organization or about the fundraising campaign, they launched a new website with the English and French version of their website. So people can always find more information there if ever you're interested in learning more.
Taylor McClure is heard on CIDI-FM. And daily news bits can be heard over CIDI991.com/website. You have done another remarkable job this week. Enjoy the weather, and we speak next week.
Yes, you too, Daniel. Enjoy the long weekend.
Friday night weather, periods of rain, low 16. Saturday showers, high 23. Showers Sunday, high 15. Long range for Monday, clouds, high 13 degrees. Ed Humphrey comes in just after 5 o'clock. 5:10 interview of the week. The new member of parliament for Compton-Stanstead, Marianne Danduran. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture. Sonia not there this week. Heather Davis subbing for Sonia. Right here on the Friday drive at CIDI-FM. And CJMQ-FM.